In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the 11th chapter of the letter to the Hebrews, we hear that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. When people say they have faith, it means more than just believing a certain set of propositional truths. It doesn't matter that you can diagram this verse from Scripture, put a box around faith, and call it a noun. Because functionally, faith is not a noun. It's a verb. It isn't something we have, like a treasured antique pocket watch. It's a whole attitude about the future. It's an attitude of hope that shapes how we interpret the world, how we respond to it, and what we strive for. That's what this lesson is about today. Human beings, as any social scientist can tell you, are unique among all the creatures on the planet. We're the only ones who are capable of imagining the future, of looking ahead, which is both a bane and a blessing of our existence. It's a bane of our existence primarily because we are able to imagine death. Animals don't think about dying, and therefore they don't suffer from anxiety in the same way. You don't see a squirrel scurrying around in a state of existential angst, worrying about death. He just scurries around, looking for nuts and berries, making new little baby squirrels, until one day he just drops over dead. Squirrels are not like human beings, who are always afraid, on some level, about our own demise. As we look into the future, when we are left to our own devices, we tend to see death in very dismal terms. But this dread of death is one of the primary things that Jesus came to change. He called on us to believe that after death there will be resurrection, that there will be new life. Whosoever believes and puts his trust in me, says the Lord, though he dies, yet shall he live. These words are read at the start of every burial service in the Anglican Church, which we have been reading a lot around here lately. But that's why we call his message gospel. It is the ultimate good news that death does not have the final say. Woody Allen once said, "I don't mind dying, I just don't want to be there when it happens." None of us wants to be there when it happens. But the gospel says we can trust God with what happens when it does. And if we trust God with our death, then the fear of death, and even our grieving after death comes, does not have to drain every bit of joy out of our living. But faith is not only about trusting God with what happens after death. It is also about trusting God with our life. Besides death, the other deep primal fear that plagues us human beings is the fear that life is meaningless and even capricious, that there's no real value or purpose to it all, that life just happens to us, that the world just turns, and we are either lucky or unlucky in how it turns out for us in the end. In the modern world, science and technology have given us so much, but science has also exacerbated this anxiety that we have about meaninglessness by teaching us to only fully trust that which can be seen and measured and verified and proved. And God's existence, much less God's goodness and interest in us, cannot be proved. If we scrape some skin off our arm and look at it under a microscope, all we see are cells. If we have the technology available to us, we can even see how cells are broken down into various components, and those components are made up of atoms, and atoms are made up of some subatomic particles. We can see all these things. And yet what is not apparent to the naked eye is that they are valuable. When we look into a microscope at skin cells, we don't see goodness and worth. We don't see by a microscope that these skin cells aren't just skin cells, but they are part of what make up a person. And that person, whatever the color of her skin cells, however rich or poor he is, however crazy or sane, that person is a child of God. In Genesis, God is behind the creation of everything that is, and God calls everything that is good. It's Scripture that calls us children of God, that imbues us with worth. It's in Scripture that we receive the promise that God is love, and that even though God is sometimes tempted, God will never abandon us or destroy us. If you read that first lesson from Isaiah, makes it sound as though God has got it out for us because we've been less than perfect, less than just. But if you continue to read in Isaiah and throughout all the prophets, where there is judgment from God, there is always the relenting from judgment. There is always a coming back to loving us and seeing us through. Always. It is the Bible that shows us that God's character is not capricious, but that God's will bends toward justice and love. And it's in Scripture that tells us, that Jesus tells us, "I came that you may have life and have it abundantly." As we heard in Luke's Gospel, that it is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. It isn't the microscope that tells us this. It's Scripture. And Scripture's picture of things isn't provable. Faith is the assurance of things not seen by the naked eye, or even things made visible under the lens of a microscope. But if we live by faith, we can live joyfully, despite serious disappointments, and we can survive even disaster without it destroying us. This passage in the letter to Hebrews lifts up Abraham as a prime example of how faith helps people live in the face of death, but also how it helps us live. Abraham was promised two things from God: that he would be the father of many nations, and that his people, the Hebrew people, would have a homeland. But Abraham spent most of his life with no sign that these promises were actually being fulfilled. God asked him to set out for the promised land, and he went, though he had no idea where he was going. He lived as a stranger, as a foreigner, in the land that would one day be called Israel, waiting for a sign that somehow this was going to become a homeland. But it's not like the people who were living there just saw him coming and said, "Here you go. Here's your promised land. We'll just go somewhere else." It took generations for that promise to be fulfilled. The other thing that he was promised was that he'd be the father of many nations. But he and Sarah kept getting older and older and older, and yet there was no child. I love how the Scripture said, "And he was as good as dead." How do you become the father of many nations if you are barren? Abraham lived his entire life seeing virtually no sign that what God had promised was indeed coming to pass, and yet it did come to pass. And the reason that Abraham is considered a great father of the faith is exactly what Hebrews says. He considered him faithful who had promised. In other words, as one of my favorite authors puts it, he believed despite the evidence, and then had the patience, at least most of the time, to watch the evidence change. Abraham had his eyes set on a homeland that was not even a physical place, but a city whose architect and builder is God. He had his eyes set on the reality that God is God and that God is love. He trusted that God was at the helm and that God would be faithful to his promises. And so he could endure with hope the many years when everything seemed to be working against him. Faith is living and acting out of an assurance and hope that despite whatever appears to be happening visibly, there is a loving God who is at work loving us and acting faithfully toward us, behind and within and invisibly throughout the events and circumstances of our own lives and the life of the world. And though it may take our lifetime and even beyond to see how God has blessed us in these things, even with recession, even with all the disappointments that we may experience in our personal lives, it may take that time, but someday we will see, if we keep our eyes set on that homeland, that God has indeed been faithful. So whatever you are facing in your life, God has promised that abundance of life is possible for you. Can you believe it? Believe it. And even despite the evidence, if you have to. And then watch the evidence change. Amen.